Can you keep a secret? If someone tells you something and says, now don't tell anyone, how good are you at doing that? Well, if you tend to spill the beans, don't be too hard on yourself. For it is actually harder to keep a secret than you might think. According to psychologists, keeping information from someone else is quite the mental task. You have to be able to remember what you can say to that particular person and what you can't say. So if you're engaged in a complex discussion, it may be difficult to keep track of what you're allowed to divulge and what you aren't, what information you can give out, and what information you shouldn't. So that all being said this day, put yourselves in the position of Peter, James, and John. One day Jesus decides to have the three, the inner circle, if you will, follow him up on a mountain. At first they probably thought to themselves, no big deal, all Jesus wants is to have a little powwow with us. Maybe fill us in on what he wants to do next. But then out of nowhere, they see Jesus' face shining like the sun. They see his clothes becoming as white as light. Enough to make you rub your eyes just to make sure what you're seeing is actually happening. But if that's not enough, suddenly before your very eyes, you see two of the Old Testament heroes. You see Moses, you see Elijah standing with Jesus and talking with him. Again, you rub your eyes. Certainly, what I'm seeing can't be real, can it? And then, if you will, the cherry on top of the whipped cream. You hear a voice coming out of the clouds. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Well, let's stop right there. If you were Peter and James and John, what's the first thing you're thinking about? Okay, maybe I've died and I've gone to heaven. But then you realize, no, I'm still here on earth. But after that, after Jesus comes and touches you, and says, you'll be okay. What's the very first thing you're going to want to do? You're going to want to tell someone, aren't you? You're going to want to tell someone what you just saw. Hey, guys, you wouldn't believe what Peter, James, and John and I just saw. We saw Jesus. And you should have seen him, his face. His clothes, all Moses and Elijah. Not only do you want to tell the rest of the disciples, you want to tell your family, you want to tell your friends. But then as they make their way down to the bottom of the hill, Jesus says something, well, let's be honest. It's kind of hard to listen to. Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Did Jesus have an idea what Peter and James and John were already thinking? But if so, what's the big deal? Why keep what they saw on that mountain a secret? If you've read through your gospel accounts, and I'm sure all of you have at least five times by now, you're aware that there are many times when Jesus requests secrecy. For example, earlier in Matthew's gospel, there is a story of Jesus healing two blind men. But yet after they regained their sight, Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But why? Why does Jesus want to keep these wonderful things under wraps? Let's think about it. Up to this point in Jesus' ministry, up to this day, his transfiguration, if you were to describe his work, referring to him as a miracle worker, would be a very good description. In Matthew's gospel alone, Jesus has cleansed the leper. He's cast out evil spirits. He's calmed a storm. He's restored life to a 12-year-old and gave hearing to a deaf person and speech to someone who couldn't talk. Without a doubt, all wonderful things. As a matter of fact, all wonderful things that Isaiah had prophesied the Messiah would indeed do. But then you should also be able to figure out the problem that Jesus saw coming. Was it the sole purpose of God to send his son to be just a miracle worker? No, it wasn't. The miracles vindicated his claims about himself and his teaching. And although Jesus didn't need to perform any miracles, and yes, even Jesus refused to perform miracles on demand, he did them so that others might believe. You and I, through the gift of faith, truly know who Jesus is and the real reason he came. But for the people back in Jesus' time, they did not have the New Testament to read yet. All they had were the Old Testament writings. And so when word about Jesus and the things he was doing spread around, people assumed incorrectly. They believed the promised Messiah was coming to free them from their oppression from the Roman government. Jesus, however, was coming to free them, all right. But not only them, but all of mankind from something much, much worse. The wages of sin. And that's why on the way down the mountain that day, Jesus told Peter, James, and John to remain silent until his resurrection from the dead. It will not be too much longer until Jesus rises into Jerusalem to begin his passion. During those days, he will see Judas betray him. He will see Peter the rock crumble under fear and deny his allegiance to Jesus three times. His body will be beaten and whipped. He will be nailed to a cross like a common criminal left to die. His body will be placed in a borrowed tomb. All these things Isaiah had prophesied the Messiah would endure. Did you catch the word borrowed? Jesus would not remain dead, would he? The transfiguration was a foretaste of what was to come. His glorious resurrection from the dead on that first Easter morning. His appearance to the disciples and others afterwards. And his ascension back into heaven. And it is there where Jesus and all the saints who have gone before us see him sitting in his glory, his face shining like the sun, his clothes white as light, waiting until the day he comes again to judge the living and the dead. So what about Peter, James, and John? Well, Peter said in our epistle lesson for today, didn't he? He did listen to those words of Jesus. Yes, he remained silent until after the resurrection. But then after that, the secrecy was over. Those three and the remaining disciples couldn't wait to share with everyone the wonderful things that Jesus had done. Not just the miracles, but how he died and rose again, defeating sin, death, and the power of the devil. You and I live in a time when many people wish we would remain silent about Jesus. That we would keep our knowledge, that we would keep our faith a secret. And that's why we can't. And that's why the Holy Spirit won't allow us to. For while you and I may have never been eyewitnesses to the events of Jesus' life, we do have his story. We have his word. And it is that word, when heard, that produces faith. Faith that tells us that Jesus is more than just a historical figure. Faith that tells us that Jesus is more than just a miracle worker. Faith that says that Jesus is the Son of the living God, our only Savior, both now and for all eternity. Amen.